Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
You know, the leaves what's up, everybody? Trees welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Tom Bubba Horowitz. And with all the nasty stuff going on with Brexit, and not Brexit, exit, and this exit, and all the other crap going on, we had to go to the chief wine person. The one who's going to help us get over all of our troubles, Tracy Burns from Wine in the Street. What's up, Tracy?
So much. I appreciate that you come to me when times are tough.
Well, you know, listen, you're you do a lot of good things, and you know, you're a wine connoisseur now, and now, you know, I think we need a lot of wine to get through all the ridiculous trials and tribulations of what's going on in the economy. What do you think out there, my dear?
It's actually, I mean, if you close your eyes, it's almost as if nothing ever happened, right? Market's back. So the whole Brexit thing was a one and done. Market in general is basically flat since Thanksgiving 2014. So it's almost like we're stagnant. We're not going anywhere. We're not doing anything. I don't think it's getting better by any stretch. I just think that, unfortunately, we're looking a lot like Japan.
And isn't that sad that we couldn't figure out the Japan model? I mean, you know, if we had anybody who had any brains running the organization, you know, because, I mean, I'm a big believer that the United States of America is a business. And if we had anybody, any brains running this corporation, we would not have followed the path or the pattern of Japan. What do you think?
Yeah, and I agree with you there. It's funny. I interviewed someone recently about the housing market and, why the housing market is exactly repeating Japan, and we're doing it. We're following in their exact footsteps, and it's amazing that you're right. We haven't even like taken two steps backwards just to say, okay, what they did is really bad. We shouldn't do it again here. And not only are we doing it in the housing market, we're doing it in the overall economy.
And that is, to me, one of the saddest states. And you know, I want to bring in, you know, your personal life this a little bit, because you know it relates. Okay, now you're a single mom, you know.
Okay.
you do, yep, all this stuff. Now how is all this stuff affecting you as a single mom? Because you know, obviously you got to make money, because you got to pay for the kids, and you got, you know, I know you travel and travel baseball, and probably your daughter probably travels and does stuff too. So I mean, it's not easy to survive. What are you doing?
It's not. And you know what? Because while salaries aren't changing, you know, your fixed costs are still your fixed costs. You're not making more money, but the variable costs keep going up. So, you know, just to bring it home, all the baseball fees, all the softball fees, dance classes, all that stuff keeps getting more and more expensive. And yet nothing else is increasing along with it, right? So that's what makes it, I think, harder. You know, everybody thinks that because gas is low, we're all saving money, but we're not. It's going to all the other costs that you have to pay just to keep the family going. Now, granted, we spend a lot of money on baseball and all that kind of crap, and maybe the kids don't need it at the end of the day, but most parents are going to sacrifice everything else for the sake of the kids, right? And so I think it becomes harder, regardless of how much money you make, when the ancillary costs keep going up, and your day to day, your salary and things like that are not changing. I think that's what makes it harder. The food store, all that stuff that you need keeps going up, and our salaries are not, because I think the economy is just stagnant.
Well, but wait a second. Janet Yellen says that we don't have any inflation, but I mean, of course, my gas is now 35% higher than it was, I don't know, 6 weeks ago. My food keeps
going up.
And all the other outside costs. So how come there's no inflation? I mean, you were part of the game. You were in it. So how can they continue to say and look you in the eye and say there's no inflation?
Well, because like everything else, they keep using the same arcane metrics that haven't evolved with the rest of society. I mean, the equation they use to calculate inflation is laughable. And unfortunately, there are other things that need to be considered, but they keep relying on these same metrics, which is exactly why Yellen and Co. are stagnant as well. They can't get out of their own way because they're relying on things that they just don't measure the state of the economy anymore. It's different. I'm sorry. You can't harken back to 1940 and call a comparison. You just can't.
Well, I agree with that. And is it having an effect on the wine business?
Well, I think the wine world is in an interesting place right now because they're trying to figure out how to involve the millennials. The millennials are super interested, but they're not going to spend big fat, you know, wads of cash on a bottle of wine. You have now, of course, you have the whole, whatever's going to happen in Europe with imports and exports, that'll be very interesting to see how that plays out, how the exchange, you know, it comes back to the United States. Some of these wines might actually be cheaper for a while. Who knows? I think the sweet spot in the wine world is like $20, $25 and under. People don't want to spend a load of money. They want to drink. We all want to drink, but we don't want to spend gobs of money on it. And thankfully, you don't have to these days. It's just a matter of getting the word out, and the wine world's really struggling. I have to admit, I love the industry, but it is super slow to change, super slow. And so they're behind the eight ball on so many things, and they need to just, like, step it up and get the word out because people are going to keep drinking. And if they don't get their wines in front of them, they're going to turn to other things. And that's why you see whiskey is hot, scotch is hot, craft beers are hot. Unfortunately, the wine world might has to wake up a little.
No, how do you get it in front of people? What would you do?
Yeah, it's social. It's all social. And these guys are farmers, or these women, men and women are farmers at heart, right? And they're, you know, especially young vineyards or young winemakers that are starting out, and they don't have the teams to do this. You and I both know social media could take all day. And you need, like, a person. And they don't have it. They don't have the money. These small, fabulous artisanal wines are so great, but they don't have the staff to do it. So somehow, some way, someone's got to show up one day and say, look, I'll help you. That could be my next business, as I'm saying it out loud. Just to go out and help these people get the word out. It's very competitive out there, especially now you have these, like, big wine houses, wine warehouses, like wine.com, or we have Total Wine in our area. You know, these big superstores, Costco's selling wine. You can get wine so cheap that the vineyards are totally getting undercut. There's no reason to buy a bottle of wine from a vineyard anymore because you're going to get it cheaper somewhere else. So the margins are awful. So it's tough for the little guy. So the little guy, you know, either gets bought out or closes shop, which is really sad.
Well, isn't that the story of the entire economy right now, that the little guy, as always, gets screwed, which is why it seems like they're trying to basically eliminate the middle class? What do you say?
I agree with you, actually. It's terrible. And it's rules and regulations and taxes and tariffs and all this nonsense that keeps the little guy from getting bigger. And eventually they have no choice, but, you know, you don't want to say sell out, but you get an offer from a big you know, distributor or a big consolidated company, you're going to take it or you're going to shut the doors. It's not cheap business either, too. You know, you got to wait so long. They say the fastest way to lose $1 million is to open a vineyard. Because don't forget, it's not instantaneous like the whole rest of the world is. You plant a grape, you got to give it 4 or 5 years before you even consider putting, you know, making juice out of it. And so these guys need help, and they're not getting it. And they're not getting it at all. And quite frankly, the United States is, you know, blessed with this Napa Valley area, Washington, Oregon as well, but Napa Valley in particular. And California's taxes and tax laws are just so onerous that it's just unfair because you can't pick it up and move a vineyard. You know, you can move your tech company to Texas. You can't move your vineyard.
We're going to have a Cal exit soon. It'll be another Brexit, but this is Tracy Burns, the winer on from wineonthestreet.com. check her out. She used to be with Fox. She's an all-around great reporter and has a lot of understanding of the markets, which we're going to get into more when we come back from the break. This is The Bubba Show. Make sure when you miss an episode and you want to hear stars like Tracy, you go to libertytalk.fm and you download the podcast version every day. We've got over $225,000 a month. I'm pushing for $300,000 and then to $1 million, but I need your help, so please go download it. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be back right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend Tracy Burns, Fox Business, ex-Fox Business. She had a lot of exes. But she's also wine on the street and extremely talented. And so, Tracy, you mentioned, you know, the problems in California. And, you know, I'm going to kind of mix something in here. You know, Brexit was... obviously wasn't a big deal. I didn't think it was a big deal. In fact, I said that they were going to pull out because the one thing that the UK never did is they never really gave up all their rights to their own currency. So they had an edge anyways going in, and it's really not that big a deal that they pulled out, in my opinion. Do you think I'm right or wrong about that? And again, their own currency, so it really didn't matter. What did you really think?
Yeah, I hope at the end of the day everyone's happy and they did it for the right reasons and they didn't just do it for like our country right now. I hope we are going in the right direction. This vote against politics and all that, you hope it pans out in the end and it's not just a bunch of kids screaming or adults screaming and then at the end there's no follow through. So if this is what they want and they just need to follow through, and I actually think it's going to be fine and probably be fine for all of us at the end of the day. But it's about the follow-through, Todd. Like, everyone screams and everyone complains. But if you don't take it to the second level, then your screaming is completely wasted.
And I agree with that. Now, do you think that a state like a Texas or a California could try to leave the Union of the United States of America?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know why they would want to, I have to admit. I think... while California is as messed up could be, with all due respect to Californians, why would you want to leave us? Because as messed up as we are as a nation, we're still really friggin' fabulous. And so where are you going to go? You know, I don't think it makes sense. I think it's knee-jerk and selfish and silly.
All right, well, I mean, I don't disagree. I mean, I personally believe that the system in which we live under today is broken. I believe that people who can continue to say, now this is one thing that gets me crazy, is every time you hear they talk about the election politics, well, they're not a politician. Well, who the hell wants a politician anyways? They're the ones who got us into this mess because of what they do. I mean, the politicians don't follow any of the same laws or rules we follow. I mean, they don't have Obamacare. So why would I care if there was a politician in office? I'd rather see, in my opinion, I'd rather see a businessman running the United States of America, and I'd rather see it a 6-year term. And I'd like to see him pay him $10 million a year so we could get a top CEO that would say, you know what, I'll go run the country for six years. I mean, the original Constitution said that you give for your country. They didn't get paid. They served one term and were out. I mean, what do you think?
Right. And then you go back to your farm. That's exactly what it said. Thomas Jefferson wrote that. When you and I think talked about this last time, I am such a devout believer in term limits, and I have been for years. Like, but you're not going to fix the system unless you vote the bums out, and not even vote them out. Just you have to throw them out. You have to say your stay here is over. Go home, because the notion that we have politicians that are older than me in the same slot is crazy. It's just crazy. I mean, you don't have CEOs running companies for 45 years. You just don't have it, and yet you have politicians running our country who are there for 45 years. It just makes no sense. You would never see it on Wall Street. You shouldn't see it in Washington.
Well, they make a career out of stealing. I mean, it's okay. I said that, not Tracy. So, I mean, now, well, I got to give you the disclaimer because, you know, I'm willing to say just about anything. And fortunately, I've never been...
But you know what the problem is with this whole thing, though, is they have to vote themselves out, right? In order for term limits to ever be instituted, you're going to have Congress agree to it, and they'll never agree to it. So now we're on this, like, vicious hamster ride that it's going to be like this unless you get some amazing freshman class that, like, gives a finger to all the old dudes and says, this is what we're doing, and we're going to do this, and somehow, some way, they get it through. But that to me is the hardest part. It's most logical, but the hardest part is getting it passed because they're literally going to have to vote themselves out.
Well, you know, obviously... I truly believe that there will be a revolution in this country. Now, again, I'm not saying it's going to be a fighting revolution. I've said this many, many times for years now. But I think you're seeing it with the votes for Sanders and the votes for Trump and the votes for Brexit and some of the things that are going on. And I do believe that the middle class may rise up finally and revolt because, you know what, they're making the middle class poor people. And you know what, it's not fun to... have a lifestyle that you've started to live and now have to struggle just to get by every single day and not be able to really pay your bills, but just barely enough to eat. And that's really what I see happening. What about you?
I agree with you, but at the same time, the revolt is so much harder in practicality, right? Like, there was a time I remember when everyone talked about how, you know, all these state taxes are rising. And so, and my state included, Jersey, I'm in Jersey, New York, Connecticut, state taxes are out of control around here. So everyone says, well, people will bolt. I can't sell my house. Where am I going to go? I can't leave Jersey. Like, I can't, I mean, my kids are in school here. I'm in Green here. So I'm almost like, I'm getting sucker punched. I can't go. I can't sell the house. If I sell it, I'm probably going to take a loss at this point. And then what? I uproot my family? No. Instead, I stay here, and I'm beholden and, like, victim to the BS that goes on in Trenton, New Jersey.
Right.
And I kind of feel like that's everywhere. Like, the revolt sounds great, but how do you actually do it without, you know, I don't know, ripping your family apart.
Well, Illinois is losing, like, I don't know, some number like 3,000 millionaires a day are moving out. Okay.
I know, but millionaires are, it's easier to move a millionaire. It's so much harder to move the middle class.
Well, not only that, but
millionaires can do whatever the hell they want.
Well, but the other thing is, you know, like, I could move now. I mean, my kids are in school. They're done. So I don't have to uproot my family. I could just move. And certainly. So
there you go.
And certainly I will.
But can you sell your house, though? Like, for instance, I just heard that there's a town, one of the wealthy towns in Connecticut, there's ridiculous sum of houses on the market. You know, so these people are trying to get the hell out of Connecticut, but they can't. When your house is, and granted, these are higher end homes, but they can't sell them. So then what? Are just people just walking away and taking the law?
Well,
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like in fear, it's a great notion, but in practicality, it's just hard sometimes.
Your first loss is your best loss, right? I mean, sometimes you just got to...
I guess.
You know, if you have the money to take the loss, you know, then you should take the loss. I mean, you know, if you think about it, look at it. If you move to a state, either, I think it's Florida, Texas, Nevada, and New Mexico, I think, or maybe Arizona. But those states have no state taxes. Well, depending on how much you're paying, do the math and figure out the time and what you could save, and then you make the decision. I mean, people in California can buy a house in Nevada and actually, I mean, I know a lot of people that live half in Nevada, so they can establish residency in Nevada because if you live there 6 months, you can be a resident of their state. So they're going to save the tax money. And they can basically, with the amount they save on their state taxes, they are paying for their new house. What do you think about that?
Look, I totally get what you're saying. And I think there's about 8 states now that are state tax free. But I just think that for wealthy people, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer for a millionaire to take up residence, to buy a condo in Florida, take up residency there and disappear. That's a no-brainer. But for lower and middle-class families, how do you do that? How do you do that when you barely can make ends meet now? You know, I don't know. I think it's a huge risk, and it's much harder for, again, lower middle class families to actually pull it off.
And
I hope everyone does. I hope everyone leaves Jersey, because the way they're running my state right now is so disgusting. Because my governor, God only knows where he is.
Well, he's with Trump somewhere.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, I don't know if that could actually happen for people.
Well, no, I agree with you. Now, again, I'm not saying that, but I am saying that this is indeed, which we'll get to in the next segment, but this is indeed the problem. You're stuck. Yes. You're pigeonholed to where you are just because of the reasons you stated, which is the bigger problem because of all the stupid regulations, because of all the assholes and idiots in Washington. They have done this to you, and they've stuck you. And I think that eventually the people like you are going to finally say, I had enough. I can't take it anymore, because here's what you've done to me. You've ruined my life, and not your life, but you've ruined me because I'm working to pay you instead of taking care of and doing a good time with my family. And I think that's the bigger problem that's going to be eventually addressed, because a lot of people are in a very bad way because of what's happened. And we'll talk more about that when we come back to the break. We are with our friend Tracy Burns, Fox Business, used to be we used to call her the lips. She used to rip everybody apart, never give you a chance, because she's very smart. Wine on the Street, and you can either use W-I-N-E or W-H-I-N-E, depending on what's going on. But no, it's wineonthestreet.com. Check her out. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. You miss an episode. LibertyTalk.fm. You can download it, as well as The Sporting Edge, which is on Saturdays. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll be back after the break.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with Wine on the Street, and during the break was whining, but W-I-N-E, wineonthestreet.com. Tracy Burns used to be with Fox Business, but knows the economy and the numbers, and knows it more from a perspective of not just a journalist, but as a trader, because she gets it. So, you know, we were talking about this, and again, so they pigeonholed everybody who's, you know, borderline into, you've got your family. Okay, you got, you know, I've got the same problem. Listen, the reason I'm not going anywhere is because my mom, right? I take care of my mom, so where am I going to go now? However, you know, I got one foot, I got half the house packed, and right now I would have to take a 30% haircut on my house, okay? And I bought it at the stone, what I thought was the stone bottom. I bought it in 2008 at the bottom of the market, and I'm still going to take a 30% haircut from today. But I'm going to take my loss. But I get the chance. I'm taking my losses, and I'm out of here because I'm in Illinois. They keep screwing me. I mean, between every tax, it's unbelievable. It's like a career. I mean, I could pay an employee for all this money I'm giving away. So I know that you can't just get up and go, but some people can, and you have to actually evaluate, you know, where you are in your life and what's going on. You have kids, so listen. I would have never thought about this when my kids were in high school or in grade school because it wouldn't be fair to them. But now they're out, so I could do it. You can't. You've still got a number of years to go. But I'm assuming that at some point, you may, listen, either you'll make it so big it won't matter and you won't care, because a lot of the wealthy don't really care, right? What do we know for sure? The rich, nothing really affects them one way or the other. I mean, if you're truly rich, and I'm not talking about guys that are rich on paper because of a stock or, you know, a commodity, but they're rich because they've actually done rich. And the really poor, their lives don't change one way or the other. The rich can buy what they want when they want and don't care. And the poor live on the benefits, and when they spend them all, they wait till the next check comes, right?
Right.
So the middle class is what really gets hammered throughout all this, and it's obviously decisions that you got to make. You know, you're in New Jersey, you've got your whole family's around you, so you're not going anywhere. So you're going to pay extra for the privilege to live in New Jersey because it's worth it to you because of your kids, because of your family and everything else. But however, a lot of people may rise up, and if we get enough people that get their anger up, we could see, like I said, I'm not looking for a gun shooting revolt. I'm looking for a financial revolt, and people could start to strike and stop supporting people. What do you think?
I think you're dead on. And yes, I'm stuck here. You know, you and I were talking. I'm dying. 75 relatives in 15 minutes to my front door. They put a hex on me. I'd be dead before I crossed the border if I left. But when we go, I'll tell you, you're right. When my kids are gone, maybe we'll all start to go. But then, you know when the state gets screwed? When I'm old, And maybe there's an inheritance down the line. Or maybe I have, you know, my 401k finally, like, comes to fruition. Jersey's not going to get the tax money there because I'm going to be long gone. So they're not. So maybe they get me now, but they're not going to get me in the end because I'm not staying till the bitter end here to pay estate tax here. I'm going to go somewhere else that's more beneficial for me. So you're right. I think the revolt will happen. It'll take longer than you and I would both like it to, in just because of reality and practicality. But eventually, these states will get screwed. You know where we're seeing it? Connecticut. Connecticut. That governor and I have interviewed that man. We do not get along. We don't see eye to eye.
You get along with everybody.
But here's why. Malloy gave away the farm to bring in hedge funds and bring in all these businesses, and now they're all leaving. They're all leaving, and the whole watch how the state is affected by that. Talk about a revolt there. An indirect revolt where all these hedge funds now are leaving. They can't take it anymore because taxes have been so high so long. The state is awful. They get taxed on every... They cross the street, they get taxed in Connecticut. And all these people are leaving. That state is going to start to suffer. It's going to... It comes back to bite you in the butt. It's like I tell my kids, no matter what you do, it will come back to bite you in the butt. And it will. And we'll see it. It'll just take longer, I think, Todd, than you and I want it to.
Well, again, I'm not worried because I'm old. So, you know, I'm worried about my kids. I may not be old, but I'm certainly in the home stretch of life. Okay. I mean, I'm well past the midpoint. And, you know, for me, well, I am. I mean, what can I tell you? But for
me, the midpoint better be 65 these days. That's
no,
what I'm
I don't want to live to 130 anyways, honestly. truthfully, I personally don't want to live. Once I'm past being healthy, I don't want to live anyways. I don't care. But at the end of the day, I mean, I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about my grandchildren, uh-huh. You know, and that stuff, because uh-huh. That's the bigger problem when you have a president like Obama. And listen, the guy, I got nothing against the man personally. I mean, you know, I don't like his policies. I always thought he was a carny huckster. And I think he shouldn't be in the office because I don't think he has enough knowledge to be in the office. And certainly the guy's never worked a day in his life. You know, he wrote a book, but he's never done anything. So I have a fundamental problem with the way that they operate. But because I have a fundamental problem with the way the other party operates in some cases, too. I think they're both screwed up. But at the end of the day, we don't have... I don't see a lot of positives coming forward, and the United States being the greatest country in the world, and I would live nowhere else, believe me. Okay, so as much as I bitch and moan about what goes on, I only bitch and moan because I want it to be better, because I know it can be better, and I know what it was. But we have to get organized, and first of all, stop the government from spending money, stop the Fed from printing money, because when they every time they print, they take money out of your pocket. Okay, you get that, right?
True.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm tired of the free money train. I'm really tired of the Federal Reserve. In fact, I had on yesterday Danielle DiMartino Booth, who used to work for the Fed, and I go, I can't take it anymore. I'm sick of, you know, I used to be a fence sitter when it came to the Fed. I wasn't really against them. I wasn't really for them. But now I'm against them. I've seen them destruct $4 trillion and not help the middle class with one dime of that. What do you think?
Oh, look, you know, I agree with you 100% on all this. I think that...
We should get married. You agree with me so much. We can move to Utah. I can be a polygamist. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
But once we were married, we wouldn't agree anymore. You know how that goes, right? So we can't get married.
Okay.
But that being said, I think that, again, it comes down to, you know, the booting the bums out of Washington. You got to get them the hell out. Let's get Jamie Dimon in there for a while. Let's get some smart people in there for a while. And I love what you said earlier. Pay him $10 million. Like, it would be worth every dime. That's another reason why we don't get the smartest people in the world, because they damn well know they can go make more money somewhere else. Even though it's a noble cause to save our country, and it is, but why do it now when you know your family's going to be raked through the coals, when you know, like, the one bad thing you did in life is going to come up and be front and center? You don't want that. The whole process is messed up, and it's hurting the future for our kids and our grandchildren, because we can't clean up the mess just on the with the ancillary shifts, let alone forget the you know what happens in the Oval Office. All the ancillary stuff is nonsensical too.
Oh, I agree, and like I'm saying, so but why can't now? In theory, and by the writing of the private corporation of the Federal Reserve, which is a private, they have enough power. They didn't have to listen to all this stuff, and they don't have to create money for the government to continue to go over budget. Why don't we have to live by a budget? Why do you and I have to live by a budget, but they don't?
I don't know. Isn't it awful? It's awful and unfair. And it all goes to, I think, how the system is so corrupt and crooked. Because it's just not right how those of us at home pay attention and live by rules, and they don't. And I think, again, to your point earlier, this is why there's a revolt, because people are starting to get this more and more, that, you know, why the hell do these people down in D.C. get away with all this crap? Like, why? Why, in God's name, is someone running for president who is potentially going to be indicted? What is that? That's crazy.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, is that not the scariest thing? But
that is the craziest thing on the planet. Like, if you take a step back and you think about it, that's bananas. That should have been vetted to begin with and never even allowed to hold up one little poster.
Well,
but whatever.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, but I think that isn't it a shame that and I like Trump. Okay, I like Trump. I you know, I like that he's pompous. I like that he's an egomaniac. I like that the fact that he'll say whatever he wants. That's kind of I respect that. I don't think that I like everything he does, but I do respect his willingness to just go out there and go out and do a news conference impromptu, right? Just go out and, you know, whatever I say, and sometimes he doesn't say the right thing. But I don't think you should always have to say the right thing. That's what bothers me about the whole thing, about the whole system, is first of all, you know, like I said, I can find fault with both sides of the aisle. And, you know, I guess that's why they call me a libertarian, because I don't like the social issues. Like, I'm a fiscally guy, not a social guy. But I just don't get the whole mess, except that the person who wants to be president, one thing I do know is that if you want to be a president of the United States, you got the ego the size of the world. That's why people run for president, because that's the one job that they really kill you on. And you go in, you're 20, you look like you're 1,000 when you come out of office. And that's one of the things about president. But when we come back, I'm going to get Tracy Burns from Wine on the Street, her opinion on the Loretta Lynch, Bill Clinton meeting, because I say bullshit. But anyways, this is Tracy Burns from Wine on the Street, and I love talking. You see, she laughs at me, so it's perfect. We've always been like this since we were on air together, but we're going to step out here for a break. Make sure when you miss an episode, it's libertytalk.fm. You get the Bubba Show, you get the Sporting Edge, and also you got to go to BubbaTrading.com, because with the turbulent markets, we offer that hedging program, and we've now got the software to go along with it that it does it automatically for you. So you got to check it out, BubbaTrading.com. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be back after the break with more from Tracy Burns, Wine on the Street, after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Tracy Burns from Fox Business, but now Wine on the Street. That's the drinking wine, not the wine. What's that? I heard some background noise. I thought you were talking to me. So we're with Tracy Burns, Wine on the Street. And so, Tracy, we got Loretta Lynch meeting Bill Clinton by chance, they say, on a tarmac in private planes in Phoenix, Arizona. I look at it, I go, what's the probability of those two being in the same place at the same time? What's the math on that? And what do you say?
So I say, without like being totally crude, these people have an iron set. Like, are they thinking we're so stupid that we're not going to figure this out? I actually think it's an insult to the American people that they thought they were going to be so inconspicuous and no one was going to know. Could they be that dumb? I just don't get it. I don't get it. And again, I don't get why already there's, you know, a little bit of a pass on this. I don't know. I'm going to sound like I can't stand the Clintons, but I just don't get why there's like this bias towards them, and they're going to get away with this too. And there's no way in hell that was a coincidence.
Well, I tweeted that out. I said the probability of that zero. I mean, listen, yeah. I don't like the Clintons. Okay, I think Bill Clinton did an okay job. I don't like Bill Clinton. I don't like Bill Clinton because he didn't admit that he did this thing with Monica Lewinsky. And you know what? The American people would have accepted it and said, "Okay, you did it. So what?" All I want him to do is say, "I did it. It was it, and that's it." Instead, he wasted billions of dollars for nothing. Okay. Listen, American people, we are, I have to say, the most forgiving nation. Would you agree with that?
I agree. I totally agree with that. And I also think that I agree with you completely in that just say you're sorry. We screw up every day. There's not a household in America that's perfect. We all screw up. Just admit it and say you're sorry.
I
completely agree with you.
I did it. I'm glad I did it, but I did it anyway. Who cares, right? I mean, listen, infidelity. Listen, again, I don't know this for facts, and I'm sure you don't either, but John F. Kennedy, I mean, you know, if there was the internet when he wasn't president, I mean, Jesus, they might have had to put a brothel in there. But at the end of the day, I mean.
But you're right. Infidelity doesn't make you a bad leader. Just your personal choices are your personal choices. That doesn't make you a bad leader. So just. I screwed up.
I did it. I'm sorry I got caught, and that's the end of the day.
Yeah, it's okay. I think it's okay, but what do I know?
Well, you're perfect because we're both of the opposite sex, and people would react to it differently. So, okay, now, but Hillary Clinton, on the other side of the coin, she just lies all the time. I mean, you know, everybody forgets, starting even at the Board of Trade in the 70s, that she made $100,000 from $3,000 without a margin call. Now, they've gone back and proved that that was impossible, but because she was who she was, they never gave her a margin call. Okay, and of course, everything subsequently, leading up to Benghazi, leading up to, you know, the emails. Now, you and I would probably be rusting away in jail right now, but yet here she is still, and she's still the betting favorite, okay? And that's what I find interesting. Does that not disturb you as an American?
But this is why it's not so much. I mean, maybe it is the Clinton per se, but it's just the notion that we're keep turning a blind eye to this stuff. Like, it's illegal. It's one thing to cheat. Infidelity sucks. That's really bad. But she's doing some illegal stuff, and she's lying, like you said. Like, this is not what we want in the White House. We have enough problems. You can't add this whole other side to it in it there as well. I don't know. It drives me insane. I think it drives a lot of people insane that for some reason she keeps getting a bye, and I don't know why. I don't know why. And is it because there's nobody else to come to the table? I mean, the Democrats really don't actually have anybody. I don't know who they put up. We clearly haven't heard another name. Nobody's stepping up to say, well, what if she does get indicted? Who's in it?
Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Kill me.
But I don't know.
All right, so we have.
And I'm with you. I think there's a pox on both houses. I think they're both messed up on so many levels.
I could not agree more. But we got a few minutes left. We're going to end this on a positive note. Like, we started drinking, we're going to end up drinking. So let's talk about wine. Let's talk about some of the columns you're writing, and what is your near term plans in the wine business, or the writing of the wine, or what you're doing. Give us that.
Oh, well, I appreciate you asking. So I'm actually also editor-in-chief of Bottle Notes. Bottle Notes has three different sites to it, the Sip, the Pint, and I'm the Pour. And so wine, craft beers, spirits is also hot. And I think that it's an interesting world. As you and I talked about earlier, it's a little behind the times, so there's a lot of opportunity. And I also think that there's a need, a better way for the wine world to distribute its stuff. Because again, we talk about the middleman and the little guy. The little guy right now is stuck with a middleman, a distributor, to get their wines out. And these guys can't afford that kind of stuff. So it would be so great if someday the wine can go right from the vineyard to your front porch. And we are fighting that fight on a daily basis. But I think there's a lot of interesting stuff going on. Not to mention, I just think people are so open and interested these days, which is what I love. And I have to tip my hat mostly to the millennials and the younger generation. They're so interested in learning about you know, where the wine comes from and knowing that it's one organic, biodynamic and all that crap, but knowing that, like, someone got their hands dirty, they want the backstory. They don't just want to buy a bottle because some old dude gave it a 95 out of 100 rating. Like, they care more. I hate to say it. There's, like, wine snobs out there, and I'm related to many of them, who just go by the ratings and done no questions asked and buy it and like it because someone told them they're supposed to. I think these younger generation of wine drinkers have their own opinions, and you know how these kids are too. It's like crowdsourcing, right? They'll buy a wine because their friends said it was good, not because some wine critic said it was good. And I just find the whole world really, it's changing, it's interesting, and then I get to taste a lot of wine along the way.
So what
is a bad thing.
What would be, now, obviously, I'm not a wine drinker. I'm a Scotch drinker. And the only wine I ever drank was, you know, MD 2020 or whatever when I was a kid. You know, whatever was cheap, we bought it just to get hammered. Okay? I mean, I freely admit it. I wouldn't know a good bottle from a bad bottle. What would you say, in your opinion, is the best bottle of wine? Any cost. It doesn't matter. It could be $1 million a bottle. Whatever the cost is, in your opinion, what's the best bottle of wine out there?
It's any bottle that you're drinking with somebody you want to be drinking it with. Then it's the best bottle.
Oh.
I think that, I think wine, that's the beauty of it. It's what you make of it. I mean, a $20 bottle could be the best bottle you ever had if you're, I don't know, somebody proposes to you while you're drinking it. Like, who knows? And that's why every bottle has a story. And just because a bottle's $12,000 doesn't make it any better than, you know, at least I don't think.
That's what I mean. Have you tasted like a $1,000 bottle of wine glass or a $10,000 bottle?
So here's the thing. Like, so these bottles that are very expensive are generally old, and so you have to like the way an older wine tastes. It has a very different taste. Younger wines are easier to drink. They are a little bit more fruity. They don't smack you in the face sometimes. Older wines are darker or heavier. They sit on your tongue sometimes like a blanket. But again, you have to know that and appreciate it. And there are amazing wines out there, and I've had some, and I do have a Death Row bottle that's expensive, but I could also tell you I have $20 favorites that I love, and I love them because I drink them with people I love. And
oh, that's cool. I hate to cut you short, but we're running out of time, but I do have to get this one comment in. And I once had a bottle somebody gave me, it was numbered. It was like, there was only like 200 bottles in the world. I thought it was like drinking must from the basement. So I'm not a good guy to ask, but I know you are the right. And Tracy Burns, you are the best. WineOnTheStreet.com. I love having you on. Thanks for coming on again.
Be my pleasure to do it again.
Well, we're going to have you again because, you know, I mean, it's, you bring some excitement. You know, you bring a lot of good things here. You know, you're exciting. You get into it, and if I can get the right buttons, I get you all worked up, so it works out perfect. It's like I get you pissed off at something, and you're mouthing about Christy and everybody. Anyways, this is the Bubba Show. Top Bubba Horwitz. This has been Tracy Burns, WineOnTheStreet.com. Check out her column. Check out her site. Really awesome stuff. That'll do it for today, but make sure you check out LibertyTalk.fm and download the show, as well as BubbaTrading.com. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.